Zafra presents Eat, Slay, Love. Written by Julie May Cohen and read by Claire Corbett, Catherine Press, and Rebecca Norfolk.
Chapter 1. Thursday. Opal. Cellar steps. Crooked. Narrow. Barely wide enough for her foot. The only light came from a bare light bulb hanging from the ceiling. The space below was a jumble of shadows. A strong scent of vinegar filled the air, and something underneath, something musty and unidentifiable. Opal, accustomed to assessing every situation for the worst possible outcome, considered for the first time whether this could be a trap. Lord knew she'd given this woman a reason to hate her. Both of these women. And she'd given them reason to hate each other, too. Maybe it wasn't the best idea to go down into a hole in the ground with them. She paused and glanced over her shoulder. Lila, behind her, looked terrified. But Lila always looked terrified, so that didn't mean anything. Marina's face was less readable. She was anxious, but there was another emotion, or emotions, that Opal couldn't quite suss out. And Opal could usually suss everyone out within a few minutes of meeting them. For the first time, she noticed that Marina was wearing a silk dress and lipstick. Was this what normal mothers wore for a quiet evening in with the kids, here in the poshest depths of Richmond?
"Be really careful going down the stairs," Marina said. "They're rickety. Hang on to the banister, okay?"
If worst came to worst, Opal decided, she'd be able to take the two of them in a fight. She doubted either of these women had ever thrown a punch in their lives.
"I'm dying to know what's so important down here," she said, truthfully, and started down the stairs.
The scent of vinegar got stronger as she descended. The floor was concrete, and the space, lined by shelves, was lit by another single dangling bulb. In the centre of the room lay the body of a man. "Holy shit," Opal murmured. Behind her, the other two reached the bottom of the stairs, but Opal's attention was on the man on the floor. He lay on his side, facing her. She recognized him right away, of course. It had been years. His hair was a different color, his clothes were unfamiliar. He had cultivated a careful, almost beard. But it was him. She would know him anywhere, even if she couldn't see his face. She would know him by the lurch in her gut, the sensation poised somewhere between fear and fury. Over the years, she'd thought she'd glimpsed him many times, here in London and everywhere else she went too. All of those times she'd looked twice, she'd followed him, rehearsing what she'd say until he turned and revealed a stranger. But she'd never felt the lurch before. Until this moment, she hadn't known that he still had that precise power over her. Closer, she saw that his ankles had been bound together with silver tape, and his hands were tied behind him. He had dried blood on his forehead. How long had he been lying here? Why was he lying here? A gasp behind her, and the sound of another body falling. Lila lay crumpled on the cement floor. Marina cried out and stooped over Lila, touching her face. "Oh my God, is she okay?" Opal leaned over the prone woman. "She's fainted, I think. I'll get a cold cloth." Marina ran back up the rickety stairs. Opal quickly checked over Lila for damage. Her pulse was quick, but otherwise she seemed fine. Opal took off her sweaty Betty hoodie and folded it under Lila's head. Her gaze travelled back to the man on the floor. There were two small blue plasters on his forehead below his hairline. Opal squinted. The plasters had pink shapes on them, like...
was that Peppa Pig?
Marina's footsteps came back down, and she knelt beside Lila and pressed a flannel to her forehead.
"I didn't know she was going to faint," she said. "This isn't the first body she's found," Opal told her. "She's probably traumatized." "Oh, no. I didn't know. I'm so sorry."
Lila's eyelids fluttered. She moaned and opened her...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?